Mark's Gospel.
Sorry, I'm trying to put my finger on the passage. Chapter 14. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 3, and being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? For she hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Our brother yesterday took us through the wilderness path and the development in our souls and the apprehension of the truth of God. Our brother Krupa just took us through those blessings that have been secured to us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, but he began with the gospel. And you know, the gospel, we know, has an immediate result in our soul. The first working of the Spirit of God is to convict us of sin and our deep need. And we become aware that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness. And we find in the sovereign grace of God that he turns us to that one who he has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we find refuge there. And finding refuge there, going on through Romans, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have joy in God, and we look forward in hope to the glory of God. And with all of that shining on us, even in trials and tribulations, we can joy because we know that they work together for good things, to work good things in our souls. And as our brother has laid out, and I don't want to go through that again in detail, I enjoyed it so much. He brings us into liberty, into the place of sons, the Spirit of God indwelling our hearts, having believed the gospel of our salvation sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And as we go on, it's been brought before us, the truths developed of other blessings that we have been brought into in the sovereign grace of God, united to Christ in heaven by the indwelling Spirit of God, brought into a circle of fellowship we find in John's ministry, the family of God. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. A circle of fellowship that was from a past eternity. To know the only true God, eternal life, and his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he sent. And to have that wonderful hope of the Father's house above and to be brought into that wonderful sphere of light and love, like the prodigal who was brought into the Father's house, and what filled that house, light and love and song. And God is bringing us to all of those things that are yet future. He has those things that are ours now for our enjoyment. But there's one grand object that he's bringing us all to. And we had that in the book of Revelation in chapter 5. With those 24 seats around the throne of God. Occupied by those elders in heaven, representing that heavenly company. And they cast their crowns at his feet. This is my beloved son. This is my beloved son. He's bringing us to a place, and he wants it for present enjoyment now in our souls, of confiding to us his own delight and his joy in his beloved son. He has purpose for his son, glory. And he has purpose for his son, joy. Because that man glorified him in the hours of darkness and Calvary's cross. And he has straightway glorified him now. The glory which he had with him before the world began. And he wants to tell us of all of that. He wants to bring us in. And he has given us a life, eternal life, capable of knowing and enjoying his own thoughts as to his beloved son. Why is it that the Lord says wherever this gospel is preached, it will be spoken of this woman, what she hath done? Because in her we see the ultimate end of the gospel message. That we would be in his presence. We find she anointed him in another gospel in his feet, here in his head. She valued all of the person of Christ. More than words could express. Oh, how it stung when they made little of her, but how much more it stung the Savior. And so he responds to her defense. She rests there. He understands me. And wherever this gospel is preached, it will be told of this one who has been the most beautiful display of where he desires to bring each one of us to. Not only in a coming day, but right now. Valuing all of his person, pouring out our best upon him, enjoying the Father's thoughts of his own Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I have found my delight. Mary entered into that in some measure. She saw the storm of judgment that was approaching. She anointed his body to the bearing. She had done what she could. Oh, dear brethren, as brothers, we bear the responsibility to be the mouthpiece of the assembly, the remembrance of the Lord, other meetings. I've often thought how the sisters' hearts may swell far beyond ours in their adoration and their pouring out all of their heart upon that one who is the object of the Father's heart. That's all I had. I just wanted to follow up what our brothers had said and bring before our souls the ultimate end that God is bringing us all to for all eternity. We will be Mary's at his feet.